From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
Gloria al Padre, al Figlio, e allo Spirito.
Tens of thousands of people have gathered in St. Peter's Square in Rome, praying for Pope John Paul II.
Nei secoli dei secoli, amen.
O Gesù, perdona le nostre colpe. Preservaci dal fuoco dell'inferno. Porta in cielo tutte le anime, specialmente le più
bisognose. Above the square, on the third floor of the Apostolic Palace, the Pope is in serious condition. The Vatican says his breathing is shallow and his kidneys are failing after complications from a urinary tract infection. NPR Sylvia Pagioli is with us from Rome. Sylvia, what is the latest news we have on the health of the Pope?
Well, we haven't heard anything since about 6:30 p.m. when the Vatican issued a written statement saying that John Paul's breathing had become shallow and his blood pressure had dropped dangerously. The bulletin was lacking any reference to what we had heard earlier this morning, that the Pope was conscious and lucid. Now, the Vatican has never used the death word, but this evening Cardinal Camillo Ruini, in his sermon during a Mass for the Pope at St. John the Lateran, said, "The Pope already sees and touches the Lord. He is already united with our soul Savior." And earlier, Ruini had appealed to everyone to pray to ensure that the Pope would have what he called a good death.
There were media reports that the Pope had died earlier, but they have since been discounted. Sylvia, could you explain that confusion for us?
Well, there was a flurry of rumors in the Italian media that his heart and brain had stopped functioning, but these claims were immediately denied by Vatican officials. You know, this media scrutiny of the papal agony is really unprecedented. All of John Paul's predecessors died quietly behind Vatican walls, almost in secrecy. You know, in fact, a pope had never been hospitalized before John Paul. And in the past, the Vatican was used to controlling all the information. But now in this media age, and with a pope who never shied from using the media to advance his Christian message, the Vatican appears to be unable to fully control the flow of information. And we've had a lot of speculation and lots of rumors.
Sylvia, tell us more about the scene in St. Peter's Square.
Well, Italian TV estimates there are about 20 to 30,000 people there, faithful, curious, many tourists, many are praying, saying rosaries, even singing songs, and everyone has their eyes fixed on the third floor papal apartment. The Rome prefect has ordered that the entire area around the Vatican be closed. The police expect hundreds of thousands of pilgrims to arrive in the city over the next few days, and there will be police at airports and train stations to help pilgrims move around the city.
There's great sadness in the Vatican at one of the press conferences. You could see that there were quite a bit of tears there. What is the procedure for announcing the death of a pope?
Well, the moment of death must be certified by the attending physician. Then there's the traditional ritual that the cardinal, known as the Camerlingo or Chamberlain, will call out his baptismal name, Carol, three times. When the pope does not respond, the Camerlingo will say, "The pope is dead." And he will in turn inform the Vicar of Rome, who's Cardinal Camillo Ruini, who will make the official death announcement to the world. At that point, the bells of the churches of Rome will begin to chime in mourning. The Camerlingo, he is the Spanish Cardinal Eduardo Martinez Somola, will smash the Pope's ring and the lead seal used for apostolic letters, which signify papal authority, and the papal apartment will be sealed. The Camerlingo will then set the days of mourning, and cardinals all over the world will be summoned to Rome for the Pope's funeral and the conclave about 2 weeks later that will elect John Paul's successor.
NPR's Sylvia Pagioli speaking to us from Rome. Sylvia, thank you.
Thank you.